Good morning. It's a wonderful day here at St. Paul's. We're so glad to be here today. We're so thankful for what is a very special day for everyone, but especially for these six young men and women that we're going to be hearing quite a bit from here as the service progresses. It's Confirmation Sunday, if you didn't know, so if you're walking in and wondering why there are so many strange faces, that's why. We're glad you're here. Glad for all our visitors who are here. Feel free to sign our guest book if you want back in the entryway. If you'd like, you could also fill out a blue card in your pews. That's a way for us to get to know you a little bit better, too, and hand that off to an usher. If you have any prayer requests that you would like prayed for during the service today, fill out a yellow card and give that to an usher, and they will hand that off to me as well. We have not too many announcements for this morning, and I just want to share a few with you. Because it's Confirmation Sunday, we are going to have communion also, as opposed to our normal routine of the first Sunday of the month. So there will be communion today for everyone, but then there won't be communion next Sunday on the 7th. So keep that in mind. And then you can see our schedule for the week in your bulletin insert there too. Pretty normal and standard for this time of year. So you can feel free to take a look at that. There are coffee and cookies that will be served after the service. I know many of you will be heading out for meal plans with your families too. So stick around if you're able, if you want to, for some time of fellowship. Then regular Wednesday schedule, and then next Sunday our regular worship. Then with Sunday school at 8:45 and worship at 10. There are a few announcements looking ahead also down the calendar. So take a look at those if you're able. College students, if you are in college, there are treat bags for you for finals week to help you study, because we know that that's what makes you get A's on your tests, right? But grab a bag. I think I saw the cart out in the hallway there. Find your name. If you don't have a bag with your name on it, we apologize, because my memory is not perfect, nor are the ladies that put it together either. But there are several out there without a name on it. So grab one without a name on it. If you don't see your name on there, honor system. So all of you 5-year-olds thinking now that you can get a bag yourselves, don't do that. Those are for the college kids. You'll get your own candy later. I think that's about it. There are newsletters out on the table on print there if you want those too. VBS also, you saw a table out there maybe as you were coming in. There are still several needs that we have in preparation for that, which is already only about 4 or 5 weeks away. So it's coming fast, and there are some needs out there, some needs for housing and meals for the summer team that's coming, as well as some other materials and so forth. So take a look at that if you are able as well. Did I miss anything? Are there any other announcements that need to be made? And if not, then let's hear our call to worship this morning from Psalm 59. But I will sing of your strength. I will sing aloud of your steadfast love in the morning. For you have been to me a fortress and a refuge in the day of my distress. O my strength, I will sing praises to you. For you, O God, are my fortress, the God who shows me steadfast love. How wonderful is that? Let's stand together and sing our opening hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Good morning. Please be seated. Welcome to St. Paul's on this fine Sunday morning. We're glad to have so many of you with us who aren't always with us, and we're glad to be rejoicing and celebrating the confirmation of our students today. We're going to start off in worship with a song in your hymnal number 140, and words will be on the screen as well. And the song is Praise to the Father, the Glorious King, which is a song about who God is. God is one God with three persons, Holy Trinity, as we just sang, and why he is worthy of our praise. Daniel 4:37 says, "Praise and exalt and glorify the King of Heaven."
Next song we'll be singing is How Firm a Foundation, and it's a beautiful hymn for today, especially because it is such a great reminder on Confirmation Sunday that the Bible has everything we need. It is firm, it's God's word to us, and it's sufficient for our everything. So I know you guys have spent a long time memorizing stuff, and that those words will be beautiful today and for the rest of your life to remember that this is God's word to you, and it is sufficient. So the hymn is How Firm a Foundation. You'll find it in your hymnal on page 262. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.
Excellent word, what more?
This last song that we'll sing now is entitled Cornerstone. And Christ is our cornerstone. He is, as we sang in our last song, a firm foundation, and he is the reason for which we have hope, the reason for which we have salvation, and the reason for which we can continue to live by faith day by day. He walks through us, with us, through fiery trials, through deep waters. He is your cornerstone. And the words will be on the screen for this one. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ
I would invite you at this time to bow your heads and your hearts with me in confession as we confess our sins. You'll find our confession of sins printed in your bulletin. It's also on the screen. This is an important time for each of us now as we come before a holy God. We're going to talk about God's holiness later this morning as well, and the need and the importance, the value of coming before him humbly, confessing our sins, confessing, acknowledging that we need a Savior. So do that with me if you will at this time. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you to confess to you that we have grievously sinned and fallen short of your glory. We have not loved you above all things or our neighbor as ourselves. We confess these and other sins to you and look to you in faith for your forgiveness and cleansing. Grant to us your mercy and grace and help us to live our lives in the way that most honors you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In the darkness of this world, the darkness of our sin, we have a Savior. We have a God who loved us so much that he was willing to send his Son to come and to take that darkness head on and to defeat it, even to the grave itself, and to rise victorious. Isaiah writes here in chapter 43, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have purchased your freedom." That is the promise that the perfect God declares to you today, that in Christ, he forgives your sins. What joy and glory that is. He says, "I have called you by name. You are mine." We thank God. We praise him for that beautiful promise today. This time, I'm going to call on Tom Gillen to read our scripture.
The first reading today is from Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through 47. And if you could please stand out of respect for God's word. Acts chapter 2, starting with verse 36. "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself.' And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, 'Save yourselves from this crooked generation.' So those who received his word were baptized, and three were added that day. There were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor for all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved." The second reading today is from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. Luke 24, starting with verse 13. "That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, 'What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?' And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, 'Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?' And he said to them, 'What things?' And they said to him, 'Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped, moreover, is the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. And he was at the table with them. He took the bread and blessed and broke and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them and gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Here ends the reading for the day.
Let's confess our faith, saying, "This is what we believe," using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen and amen. You may be seated. This time I'm going to call on the ushers to wait upon us.
Lord, thank you for these gifts. Thank you for the many ways in which you so abundantly, richly provide for us. We are grateful to you, God, for all that you do. Bless this service now. I pray a special blessing upon these confirmants as they come forward now and confirm their faith, affirm just what you do mean to them. So we thank you, God, for the work you've done in their hearts and lives too. We praise you for that. In your name I pray, amen.
This time, we are going to commence with our confirmation portion of the service. Each of the confirmants have prepared a brief testimony. I told them to leave the preaching to me today, and so I don't think we'll be hearing too many sermons out of you, but we want to hear what God has done in your life, and so we're rejoicing with you in that here as well. So we're going to call on Drew first here to come and share with us.
God throughout my life has meant many different things to me. When I was younger, I never really understood him. My grandma took me every Sunday morning possible to church, and I would like to thank her for that, because the older I got, the more I went and slowly understood more and more of his teachings. Then finally, I understood that Jesus sacrificed his life to save mine.
Throughout life, I have realized that not everything is perfect. There are everyday struggles and battles that we encounter every single day. But I'm not worried, because I know that God is with me, and that means I will never be alone. I am so forever grateful for the countless ways God has worked in my life. God has done so many things, but the one that I am most thankful for is his son, Jesus. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." I am so happy that I was born into a strong, believing Christian family, and knowing that I believe in him means that I have everything and anything I will ever need in life.
So So in confirmation, over the last 2 years, I've been able to discuss topics more in depth and process them more. And that was really fun and it was important and stuff, but what it really came through almost every week was the gospel and what Jesus did for me. And Jesus gives me purpose for my life and hope for the future. And I know I'm going to heaven because of the promises in Scripture. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
I'm a Christian because I believe in God. Confirmation has taught me many things about other religions and all the amazing things that God does and can do, and how Christianity is different from other religions. I'm thankful to God for the many amazing things that he's done for me. I know that I am going to heaven someday because I believe in Christ Jesus and realize the sins I have done and ask for my forgiveness.
Confirmation has taught me many things over the past 2 years. I think the biggest thing that he has taught me is that God loves us so much. While we were yet dead in our sin, God sent his only son into this sinful world so that believing in his death and resurrection, we have full assurance that our sins are forgiven. Confirmation has also taught me that he strengthens our belief in Jesus by giving us Holy Communion and baptism.
Over the past 2 years, the Holy Spirit has done many things in my heart. I knew who God was before confirmation, but I learned more about his infinite mercy and love for me. He showed his love for me when we learned about the meanings of the sacraments and creeds. But the most important thing that he's taught me is that through Jesus Christ, we are saved from our sins.
At me. You gotta look at me. I know. You'd rather look at everybody else. Thank you for sharing, you six, and know that everyone here has been praying for you. They care deeply for you. They love you, and it's a joy for me to sit there and to listen to you share what Jesus means to you and what he's done in your life. Beloved in the Lord, you have been baptized into the Christian faith, and in that faith, you have received instruction. May the Lord, through his Holy Spirit, grant you a living faith that you may be able to boldly confess before God and now this congregation the confidence that you have in Jesus Christ. That's why we are here. And so we will begin over here. Drew Allen Klaus, do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? If so, answer, I do. Do you believe in God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? If so, answer, I do. Do you promise to remain faithful to the teaching of the Christian church and in the use of the means of grace? If so, answer, I do. Give me your right hand as a sign of your commitment to these promises. I'm going to read a verse for you from Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. That is my prayer for you, Drew, to look to Jesus, the one who began and perfects your faith, to run with endurance this race. May the triune God, who in holy baptism has adopted you as his child and has made you an heir of eternal life, preserve you in the grace of your baptism and grant you steadfastness in your faith to the salvation of your soul. Amen. Now, Kyla, Kareel, Kiel, do you renounce the devil?
I do.
And do you renounce his works and his ways also? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
All right. Do you believe in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Do you promise to remain faithful to the teaching of the Christian church and in the use of the means of grace? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Give me your right hand as a sign of your commitment to these promises. And I chose for you 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Remember that. You are chosen and precious in his sight, and he has called you out to proclaim the excellencies of him. May the triune God, who in holy baptism has adopted you as his child and has made you an heir of eternal life, preserve you in the grace of your baptism and grant you steadfastness in your faith to the salvation of your soul. Amen. Bria Faith Larson, do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? If so, answer, I do. Do you believe in God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? If so, answer, I do. Do you promise to remain faithful to the teaching of the Christian church and in the use of the means of grace? If so, answer, I do. Give me your right hand as a sign of your commitment to these promises. I chose for you Psalm 13, 5 and 6. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Remember the abundance and the bounty of God's love and grace for you, and that he loves you with a steadfast love. May the triune God, who in holy baptism has adopted you as his child and has made you an heir of eternal life, preserve you in the grace of your baptism and grant you steadfastness in your faith to the salvation of your soul. Amen. For you three, if I cancel out the if so answer I do, will you remember to say I do? Okay, all right, we'll keep going. Jaden Timothy Nadwick, do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? Do you believe in God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And do you promise to remain faithful to the teaching of the Christian church and in the use of the means of grace? Give me your right hand as a sign of your commitment to these promises. I chose for you Isaiah 41, 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Fear not. Remember always that God is with you, that he is here to strengthen you and to help you and to hold you up. May the triune God, who in holy baptism has adopted you as his child and has made you an heir of eternal life, preserve you in the grace of your baptism and grant you steadfastness in your faith to the salvation of your soul. Amen. Claire Elise Olson, do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? And do you believe in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And do you promise to remain faithful to the teaching of the Christian church and in the use of the means of grace? And give me your right hand as a sign of your commitment to these promises. I chose for you Hebrews 6, 19 and 20. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf. Remember that good news, and remember that that is our anchor. That is our hope for our souls. May the triune God, who in holy baptism has adopted you as his child and has made you an heir of eternal life, preserve you in the grace of your baptism and grant you steadfastness in your faith to the salvation of your soul. Amen. Now, Mark Nathaniel Olson, do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways?
I do.
Do you believe in God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
I do.
And do you promise to remain faithful to the teaching of the Christian church and in the use of the means of grace?
I do.
Give me your right hand as a sign of your commitment to these promises. From 2 Corinthians 12:9, but he said to me, this is Jesus, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest in me. Boast in your weaknesses. Cling to the sufficiency of Christ. That's my prayer for you. May the triune God, who in holy baptism has adopted you as his child and has made you an heir of eternal life, preserve you in the grace of your baptism and grant you steadfastness in your faith to the salvation of your soul. In the name of the Lord Jesus, whom you have now confessed and promised to serve, And on behalf of the entire congregation here, St. Paul's Free Lutheran Church, I hereby authorize you to receive the Lord's Supper, and I invite you to participate even a little bit later today in all the spiritual privileges of the congregation. Peace be with you. Peace be with you, Kyla. Peace be with you, Bria. Peace be with you, Jaden. And peace be with you, Claire. And peace be with you, Mark. Let's pray. Almighty and merciful God, you are our Father. And you, through your Holy Spirit, have begun that good and perfect work in us. We thank you. For something like baptism, we thank you that in baptism, you have granted these six young servants of yours the gift of regeneration. We thank you that through the light of your holy word, you have grown their faith. You have enabled them to acknowledge today and even before today your saving grace. I pray, Lord, that you would perfect what you have begun in each of them. I pray that you would grant them an ever-increasing knowledge of the salvation that you have prepared, that you have made for them in Christ. They are weak, as am I, as are we all. Strengthen them with your might. They are to meet a dangerous world. Guide them with your counsel. They will experience many temptations. Help them to resist and to overcome. In every hour of need and trial, comfort them with your Holy Spirit. Help them to watch and to pray and to seek diligently in your word and in sacrament the nourishment of your grace. May they stand strong in you and in the power of your word, confessing before a watching world their faith in you. In your name I pray, amen. You guys can be seated, and we'll call on you a little bit later for communion. The three female confirmants have prepared a special song to sing for us and to play for us, and so we're going to call on them at this time. Amen. Thank you very much for that, girls. My Jesus, I love thee. We are in the book of 1 Peter this morning, chapter 1. I'm going to read for you five verses from there, verses 17 through 21. And as I read these verses, I would ask if you would please stand with me out of respect for God's word. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 17, reading this morning in Jesus' name. And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Lord, these are your words. I thank you for them. I pray that you would set them apart in our hearts, in my heart, in the hearts of our confirmants, in the hearts of all gathered here today as truth. Your word is true. Help us to see that, to receive that in faith this morning. The harsh truth of your law and the sweet reality of the good news of the gospel. Bless this time, we pray in your name. Amen. You may be seated. This sermon is for you six confirmants today. So I'm going to be watching you, okay? I'm going to be speaking to you, but you don't have to take notes. That's the good news. You've taken many sermon notes for me over the last 2 years. You don't have to do that today, because part of the purpose of that assignment was to train you to listen to the sermon, okay? So you get to practice that today. Listen to this, all right? But for fun, just so you know, I put an outline in the bulletin so that everybody else can take notes if they want to. All right? You don't have to take notes, but they do, if they want. Okay? If you don't, I'm not going to be making you turn them in. I've got a pile of confirmation homework already on my desk that's too big. But I would encourage the rest of you also to listen to this today, because this is for you too. Why do we do confirmation? But the question is bigger, and it's for everybody. Why do we study the Bible? Read it, learn it, listen to sermons about it. There's two things that I want you to know today from our text, all right? Know that God is your Father, and know that you were ransomed. And then we're going to talk about why it's important for you to know those things. Know that God is your Father, and know that you are ransomed. Verse 17, and if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. I gave the sermon this morning the title, As You Live Your Lives. I did that for a few reasons, but mostly because one of the purposes of confirmation is to cover a wide variety of topics to help you prepare for life as you grow into adulthood. So as you live your lives, know this stuff. That's what we've been doing for 2 years. I mean, we talked about idolatry almost 2 years ago now. Do you remember that? Okay. Not necessarily the objects and statues that we picture in our minds as idols, but all the things in life that we value more than God, those are idols too. We talked about why church is important, why your parents ought to be respected, the problem with things like hate and sexual sins and dishonesty. We learned why it's important to understand that God created the world, why Jesus did what he did, how the Holy Spirit helps us and guides us and directs us. We learned about prayer. We learned about the holiness of God, what it means that we live in this world, but that we're citizens of heaven, why God's will is best for our lives, even if we disagree. We learned to be thankful for all that God daily provides for us, the problem with sin and temptation, the power of God's forgiveness and grace and mercy. We talked about some of the deep and hard questions too, right? All of those things are important for you to know as you live your lives. But these two things I want to highlight in our text, they're kind of overarching things over all that we talked about. Maybe they kind of focus all that you've learned in these 2 years into some thoughts that are easy to remember. And the first one, like I said, is this. As you live your lives, know that God is your Father. Know that God is your Father. If you call on Him as Father, Peter says. Now, everybody has a father, right? Okay, that's pretty basic biology. Many of you here today have great relationships with your dads. Not everybody does, sadly. And for many here too, your dads are gone already. They've passed away, some recently, some many, many years ago. But everybody has a father. Now, Peter here is talking about God as Father, and he doesn't do that. He doesn't do that in order to invoke some sort of fuzzy, warm, feel-good emotion, okay? It's true that ultimately it is a very good thing that God is your Father, but the truth of that goes much deeper. By acknowledging, for example, that we all have dads here on this earth, or have had dads here on this earth, but that God is also our Father, we are acknowledging that there is something more than this life. God as Father tells us that there is another relationship that shows us a new way of thinking and living. So in other words, you have a dad who brought you into this world. And sure, we can talk about God as creator of this life certainly too, but the point is, he gives you a father for this world, but then it's to understand, you see, that there is another life. There's another kingdom where we have a father. For Christians, God is that Father. Sadly, it's not true of everybody. Jesus talked about that in John chapter 8. He rebuked the Pharisees and the scribes there because they called on God as their Father, but they refused to listen to God's word coming from Jesus. So Jesus says, you can't even bear to listen to me, so God's not your Father. He says, your Father is the devil because you do what he wants. He's full of lies. He's the father of lies, Jesus says, and that's why you're not listening to me, because I'm telling you the truth. You see, everybody has a father, spiritually speaking also. It's either God or ultimately the devil. It's the same thing when we talked about idols. Everybody has a god, whether they acknowledge that or not. Whatever it is, think about this. Whatever it is that all of a person's hope, contentment, satisfaction, value depends on, that's their God. Whatever it is that you can't live without, that is your God. And we all know that if that thing or person or whatever is of this world, it ultimately disappoints us, lets us down. Because everything born of this world lets us down, disappoints us, dies. And they can be good things. Your father in this world could be a great dad, but he's not perfect. He will let you down at some point. Ultimately, he will leave. He will die. The things of this world will let you down, even good things, because the things of this world are broken, including you. That's why our hope, our only hope, must be in something, someone who proved that even something like death can't keep him away. We'll get to that in a minute. So following Peter here, if you're going to then call on God as Father, this is who that Father is. He is the one, it says, who judges impartially according to your deeds. And the standard of your deeds, listen to this, is holiness, perfection. That's verse 16, right before our text. So if you're following along with this now, and I hope you are, I'm telling you that your only hope is in God as your Father, but that Father demands perfection. This is where I've seen too many people get angry and then turn away from Christianity. They say, if this is who that God is, if this is who God is, he tells us he's the only way, but that he requires something impossible, then I don't want anything to do with that God. If that's you, by the way, please hear me, I beg you. That attitude plays right into the devil's hands because it breeds arrogance and rebellion, even if we don't see it that way. I don't need that God then. That's a backhanded arrogance. And you're just like those Pharisees who refuse to hear what God is telling them through Jesus. This is what God is saying, and because it's God, it's true. Because he is perfect. And then, that's why Peter uses the word fear. Conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. There's a reference, by the way, when he says exile, to the reality that this world is not our final destination. That there is something more. It's not our home. We're in exile. So conduct yourselves with fear. Now, Christians, because of the gospel, like to emphasize the honor and respect part of fear. So conduct yourselves with honor and respect. And that's part of it. But it's okay for us to be mindful of the sheer terror part of fear also. Because the truth is that we need God, but we can't measure up to his standards. That ought to strike fear in our hearts because we know, even if no one else does, we know that we aren't perfect. We know that we're still sinners, and that, as much as anything, means we don't approach God casually. We are dealing with a Father, a perfect Father, a God of holiness. As you live this life, know that God is your Father. Secondly, as you live this life, know that you are ransomed. The word there talks about redemption, liberation. The beauty here, friends, is that, forgive the expression, okay? God is no dummy, all right? He knew exactly the predicament that we are in. But if he were to compromise his holiness in order to allow for our imperfection, he wouldn't be God anymore. And so instead, okay, because this is how much he loves you, he put a plan into motion to make you righteous and perfect and holy in his eyes. He's not going to be imperfect, so he made a plan to somehow make you perfect and holy and righteous in his eyes. He paid for your shortcoming, your debt that is caused by sin, the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, Peter says. The futile ways of this world, in other words, he ransomed you, he redeemed you, he purchased your freedom, and he did it, Peter says, not with perishable things like silver or gold. Psh, who needs silver or gold anyway? One of you said it well. If I have Jesus, I have all I need. Even things like silver and gold, they're things that this world values, idolizes, and they don't last. Even something as precious as gold, it's not good enough. And God knew that. And so he paid for your freedom. He paid for your holiness with something even more precious and valuable, something eternally precious and valuable, the precious blood of Christ, his own son. A sacrifice that was perfect because Christ was perfect. He was spotless, without blemish, it says. And so it was a perfect payment that the holy and perfect and righteous God accepted on your behalf, for your sake, Peter says. It says there that God knew about this before the foundation of the world. He was that serious about wanting you as his child. Christ was that serious about rescuing you, freeing you, that he was willing to shed his own blood to die a death that he did not deserve because he did not sin. He didn't have that debt. But he died the death that you deserve for you. Remember that. You six, but all of you, please. As you live your lives, remember what it cost God to make you his own, the precious blood of Christ. That, it gives meaning and fulfillment to your lives. You are valuable and you are precious because of what God paid for you. That's how valuable you are to God. That is where your faith and your hope rest. Know, dear children, that you are ransomed, that you are redeemed, that Christ purchased your freedom, and in Christ, God has made you his own. Know that God has revealed himself, his plan, his purpose in Jesus. Jesus, it says, was made manifest. He came. He revealed himself for your sake, and that proves God's deep love for you, and that in him, through him, Jesus, we are all believers, it says. We are children of God. What was previously impossible, Jesus Christ made possible. Because the Bible says that with God, all things are possible. In Jesus, God revealed the way to reconcile God's holiness with our sinfulness. That way is Jesus. In him, we are ransomed, we are redeemed, purchased, okay? We are given new life because in Jesus, we have resurrection too. We just celebrated that a few weeks ago because God says here that he raised him up from the dead and gave him glory. We ask, why do we study the Bible? Why do we study this? Behold, see. The God who gives eternal life. That's why we study. Because here we meet the Lord of life. We meet the one who paid our penalty. We meet the eternal Father who does not let us down, who does not die. He does not disappoint us. He proved his authority over death itself by raising his son. And this matters. It's important to know these things so that your faith and hope are in God, verse 21. You see, knowing that God is our Father, knowing that he ransomed us, that he showed that to us in Christ so that we would hope in him, it shows us the futility of our own ways, even if and when our nature disagrees with that holiness of God. God grant that we would humbly repent rather than reject him and go our own way, because that is the way that leads to destruction. And God grant that we would see Jesus then as the one true way to God, the one who lives and reigns to all eternity, the one who does not let you down, the one who paid the ultimate price, which ought to further humble us. Right? But it ought also to affirm us. And it ought to affirm you in a remarkable way. Because in Christ, you see the lengths to which he went to save you, to provide that way for you. In Christ, you see the depth of love that he has for you, that you are that deeply loved and valued and precious. And we find then a radical new way of thinking and living. We don't think like the world anymore. We don't want to live according to those evil desires anymore. We're sorry, for example, when we fail. We rejoice in something like forgiveness. We obey those commandments that we learned last year, not in order to become children of God, but because we already are children of God in Christ. That's verse 14 in 1 Peter 1. And then verse 22 of that chapter, we seek to love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Love one another. Why? Peter says there, because you were born again. Do you hear that language? Because you were born again. Because you have a different father. You were born into a different family, an eternal family, the household of faith. And this happened, Peter writes, through the living and abiding word of God. That is why we study the Bible, because it gives us new life. And that word, he says, is the good news that was preached to you, Jesus, who paid your ransom. That's good news, friends. It's the best news. It's news that brings forgiveness and healing and life. Our faith is in him. Our hope is in him. Remember that. And he will not disappoint. He is faithful because he is perfect and because his work for your sake is sufficient. Amen. We're going to have communion here in a few minutes. Before we do, let's sing. Let's sing just the first and last verses of hymn number 525. I know whom I have believed, number 525. First and last verses.